We usually never travel on the holidays because of the crowd and the gas prices, but we have a friend and we just wanted to get out of the heat.
Gas prices are averaging nearly $3.83 a gallon.
No matter how expensive gas prices are, when people decide to go on vacation, they just budget in the price of gas. They're going to take that trip.
Now to Cedar Key, Florida, south of Tallahassee. Correspondent Omar Villafranca is there. He's watching the cleanup and the start of the rebuild after Hurricane Idalia battered that region, leaving much of it in the dark.
While the power may be running on the lines above us, if there's nothing that goes into the house there that can receive the power, that's going to become an issue. It's good news for folks if they have, if they can plug in some supplies, charge phones, if they have a refrigerator or something, try to get a little bit of normalcy back, maybe an air conditioning.
A lot of things have changed at Twitter since Elon Musk bought the social media platform. It's not even Twitter anymore. He likes the letter X, so X it is. And now comes word that X plans to start collecting biometric and job history data on users, technology expert Ian Scherer.
It's likely that a lot of these features are going to be used for stuff like passwordless login, which is a popular growing trend on the internet, where your phone's fingerprint sensor or facial recognition features are used to log into websites instead of having to memorize or keep a list of passwords.
But just what else all this would do, X is not saying. A Missouri judge rules an 84-year-old white man must stand trial on charges of shooting a black teenager, Ralph Yarl, who was apparently near the man's home by mistake in April.
Yarl was released from the hospital 4 days later, the same day Lester was arrested. Yarl testified at Thursday's preliminary hearing. He said he was shot in the head, the impact not knocking him to the ground, and was then shot in the arm.
CBS's Christopher Cruz. The bodies of three U.S. Marines have now been recovered from a crash site in a remote part of Australia. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick reports.
The Marines were killed when their Osprey aircraft crashed during a training exercise on Melville Island. Their recovery operations were difficult. Their bodies have now been returned to Darwin. Three other Marines remain hospitalized, one in critical condition. Marines are regularly based in Darwin as part of a U.S. military pivot to Asia.
A Johannesburg building fire killed 74 people, including 12 children. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
You wash your hands, you brush your teeth, but how do you clean your nose? With Navage. Navage uses powered suction to pull saline in one nostril, around the back of the nose, and out the other nostril, flushing out allergens, mucus, and germs. And it's why cleaning your nose, the body's air filter, is the next evolution in daily personal hygiene. Navage helps you breathe better, sleep deeper, and snore less, but the biggest payoff is improved health. At Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Target, and online. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E, clean nose, healthy life.
We're going abroad for the first time in years, to Spain. So we started using Babbel.
And started learning Spanish fast.
With Babbel, you can start having conversations in another language in just 3 weeks.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
In just 3 weeks, we're starting to have conversations in Spanish. Gracias, Babbel.
Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. The road to the White House begins here. And Civic Media delivered with all-day coverage of the first Republican presidential primary debate.
The only network with every show live from Milwaukee.
I could see a scenario where Trump squeaks by again. Will people on the left be willing to accept that?
Conversation you won't find anywhere else.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Great if life came with a remote control. You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. you have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Clear skies overnight with lows around 50. South winds around 5 miles per hour. Bright sunshine tomorrow, high of 85. Lows dip down to about 63. Tomorrow night, mainly cloudy skies. Dry with temperatures well above average Saturday and Sunday, and highs from the low 90s to near 100. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 58.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Innovative.
Innovative?
Innovative. Whatever. You can say it both ways. A friend wouldn't make fun of somebody like for knowing a word. See, this is what I'm talking about, people. Kristen Bride does not believe in friendship. I don't allow them to compliment me back because I can't take a compliment.
I like your beard.
Shut up. I'm leaving right now.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
So, apparently, I don't know how far and wide this is celebrated, but apparently, today is National Supper Club Day. Is there more? This may be a more, is this even more of a Wisconsin holiday than, or national observance than like all the different cheese and beer days? Because I think it's more unique. It's still more unique here. Wisconsin supper clubs, I don't, like, there's not, it's still Midwest, but I feel like, I don't know if it's as dominant anywhere else than it is in Wisconsin.
I think that, like, I don't know, honestly, because it's funny because for me, like, supper clubs were supper clubs, so... The fact that it's like when people say, what's a fish fry? I'm like, what do you mean what's a fish fry?
But that's a good question. So like you just defined a supper club by calling it a supper club. So what is a supper club?
To me, a supper club is a it's a fancy restaurant, but it's not like a Michelin star restaurant. It looks like a fancy restaurant built by your grandparents.
It's what they think is fancy.
Yes. There's carpeting on the walls. You dress up.
But Wisconsin dress up.
But yes. And yeah, like it just feels like we're making fun of ourselves. But I feel like a supper club, literally, like we're going to the supper club tonight and everyone will go, oh, which one? You know, like, and you know it's going to be a fancy night out, but it's going to be Midwest fancy.
And that's what I mean. It's Midwest fancy.
Yeah.
But I also think that there's a range now. Like, I was reading an article about, there was a documentary about Wisconsin supper clubs, and the interview was, you know, talking about how it started. And you know, at one point, she was saying that the whole experience was supposed to be, nothing was rushed.
Yeah.
Like, the whole evening mm-hmm. could be spent. You start at the bar. Once you're ready to move to the table, you can move to the table, and there's already the relish tray there. And once you're done, you can move back to the bar, and it's you hang out. And there used to be entertainment, but now there's not as much live music and live entertainment anymore. But I feel like a lot, especially popular supper clubs, once your table's up, you're going. Like, because it's a like long way. Like popular supper clubs, like it's like a 2-hour wait.
Yeah.
And people will wait for it, especially on a Friday for a fish fry.
See, that's the thing for me is I don't want to go to a supper club that's new. I want to go to a supper club that's old. Because to me, anything that's like 20 years or younger, they're just hopping the bandwagon of the look. But you want to go to a great one, the one I always want to go to. Like, I haven't gone in so long, but it's one I think about on a fairly regular basis, is the Hobnob in Kenosha.
I've not been there.
It is beautiful. There is a oil painting of the owners on the wall. When I went last, they had a live jazz trio, and it was amazing. And it overlooks the lake.
So is it beautiful or is it kitschy beautiful?
It's beautiful because so it's beautiful to me because anything that's like newer is kitschy. Kitschy is like, to me, like there's no irony in the design. They didn't say, well, we have to do this because this is what a supper club is. They were the ones who, they're the design that everyone wants to be. You know what I mean? Like, they're the originals, okay, in my opinion. So it's beautiful. Whereas you go to one that's like, oh, they opened a new supper club. I'm like, well, that's kitschy then, because they knew they had to put a deer head on the wall, and they knew they had to dress up all their wait staff in tuxedos and things like that, because that's the old way of doing it. Whereas the Hobnob, which has a very long history, like mobsters went there, Al Capone went there. It's beautiful.
That's funny that that's your definition of kitschy. It has to, it's like something that is like put on, because when we were up in Hayward, there was, this was in July during the Lumberjack championships.
Yeah.
There is a bar, I think, and now I'm trying to look up the name really quickly, but it is like every single wall is taxidermy.
Yeah.
And it's not ironic, right? Yeah. Like, this is how this bar has always looked, but I still consider that kitschy.
Yeah, I guess to me, kitschy is a style that's, yeah. If it's your style, like if it's like, I shot all these animals, this is what me and my grandfather did when I was younger. I don't know why kitschy almost seems, it's, I don't know. I'm using it wrong. I know I am. And I know that kitschy is the way to describe it. But to me, that's not fair, because it almost seems like it's being done for the sake of it to look like it's like, mm-hmm, when you go to these, what a small tangent, when you go to like some of these newer barbershops that are trying so hard to look like an old barbershop, but it's still a $60 haircut. But yeah, you're like, but we have like deer heads on the wall. I'm like, this is fine. I'm just going to go to the place down the street where the guy barely remembers my name and he could cut my hair. That's fine. You know, I got opinions, old man opinions with Greg.
All right. Well, we're going to keep this question going throughout today's show. What is your favorite supper club? And also, what makes a supper club versus a different type of restaurant? What is the criteria to you, to besides them just calling themselves a supper club? Because yeah, it is National Supper Club Day. But moving on, at least for now, separate question. Should private schools that are receiving taxpayer money, should their finances be public? 844-967-2789. I feel like this should be obvious.
Yeah.
And say yes. And I don't know why anyone would say no, but Wisconsin private schools are objecting to their finances being made public. And I read both WPR, Wisconsin Public Radio's written two articles about this, basically back to back, one on Tuesday and one yesterday. And I can't really understand why there's objections, because School Choice Wisconsin and Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty say an online dashboard to display public school finances is necessary for transparency. But those same groups are now fighting against the inclusion of data from voucher schools.
Oh, I wonder why.
But honestly, why? 844-967-2789. Because at least in the article, it doesn't necessarily say, like the only kind of, at least I'm missing something, the only thing that they report on is saying, like, well, that information already is available. But it's like, then why don't you just want to include it on a dashboard that makes it accessible and easier to read for people? I literally am asking this question. I don't know if anyone knows.
The thing is I feel like we've talked about this before with regard to the fact that when these private schools take public school money, they get the money and they don't have to show results for them. Like, they can take kids in and then throw them out and keep the money and use reasons, whether it's queer issues, whether it's quote unquote trouble issues. So I feel like I feel like the reason why they don't want to have this money or these records being shown is because they have to go deep into the minutiae of why their student population doesn't reflect the money they're getting, or, you know, it's an investigation and they just want the money and leave them alone. That's it.
Well, and I just don't understand how you can justify that as far as like, because I mean, we're also working at the first for the first time, like this new school year, and the budget that has been increased significantly for choice programs for private schools receiving public money. And so there is a lot more money going to private schools now. So funding for kindergarten through eighth grade, private choice schools increased from about $8,400 per student to $9,500 per student. And funding for private choice high schools went from $9,045 to $12,000 per student. And so, and that is across about 86,000 students who are receiving vouchers. So like, this is a huge jump in how much money we're spending on those schools. And so the idea that we want, like, I just, it's the hypocrisy of, oh yeah, public schools need transparency. We want to know, we're pushing to have this dashboard that, you know, there was a bipartisan bill that behind it, but no, we don't, but these schools are different. Even though they're receiving public money, their finances are their business. And I just don't know, even if you're a school choice proponent, how you justify that. 844-967-2789. And I don't like it, I don't have any opinion beyond, like, it just seems like you're either hiding something, and it sounds like that's super, I think that's super nefarious, at least what you pointed out, and I'm not accusing them of that, but like, is that why? It's like you don't want to be held accountable for the money you take for students that don't end up graduating from your programs? I don't know, because at least on the data that they provide, they try to say that they, being Wisconsin school choice programs, that they're more cost effective. So on Wednesday, School Choice Wisconsin released its own data showing private schools in the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program, Racine Parental Choice Program, and statewide Wisconsin Parental Choice Program were more, quote, cost-effective than public school peers. And so the group used DPI school report card to show that the school choice programs had better results to come to their conclusion. But then DPI responded by basically saying that this is a flawed narrative, and that it was ironic that the group promoting the idea of cost effectiveness while maintaining there is no need to include their financial data in the portal, all while private schools accepting voucher money, like you said, Greg, are still allowed to discriminate with, against students with disabilities and LGBTQ plus students. So I don't know. I mean, tell me I'm wrong, that like there's a good reason why private schools shouldn't have to report or have their information included on this dashboard when they're receiving public money. 844-967-2789. We'll keep this conversation going. And then later in the hour, we have the good, the bad, and the, once again, I'm telling you, please do not sleep on women's sports. It's a long one. At the end of the hour, we will play Three Truths and a Lie. So Greg, get ready for that. And then in the next hour, Kristen Lierley is back after a week last week when she was at surgery, being a doctor. She's back to for a public service announcement. And Paul Noonan is here next hour. So we got a jam-packed show. Stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Rock and roll. Feeling is there, body and soul.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board, and it is National Supper Club Day. So throughout the day, we are asking you, what makes a supper club, in your opinion? And what is your favorite supper club? Depending, you know, this is a statewide show. We have people listening all across Wisconsin. So today is a time for you to shout out your local favorite and why. 844-967-2789. We will sprinkle that throughout the day. Did anyone chime in on that yet?
Yeah, they said that it was a place called The Bear in Manitowish Waters, but I'm not sure if that's The Bear or The Bear Trap Inn.
Oh.
But I honestly feel like the show should send me on a fact-finding mission to just... Chris, don't laugh.
No.
Don't laugh. This is important work.
Okay.
We are journalists. Are we? No, we're
are
not.
Are we?
No, we're not. I just want to eat. But I just think that'd be really fun to do a show from a supper club. Oh, my gosh. Get dressed up. Oh, my gosh.
What is your typical go-to order? Are you usually going to do fish or steak? Or
I do steak, which I'm not a steak guy. But for some reason, when I'm in that environment, I'm like, yes.
I want to be rolled home. I
mean, and the thing about the Hobnob, I'm going to keep talking about this place. The thing about the Hobnob is, at least when I went last time, I ordered a side of asparagus. It was literally a bunch of like what you get,
like family style.
What? Yeah, exactly. They should have said like, this is for like three people, but it just put it down covered in butter, like 30 pieces of asparagus. I'm like, I don't care if that's $40. I'm eating it all.
Did you?
Yes.
Great. Congratulations.
Yes.
Tony weighed in on the YouTube live stream. You can always watch us along with listen to us on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter at As Goes Wisconsin. Go ahead and follow or subscribe, either one, once you're there. But Tony said, being from Ohio, we have zero supper clubs. I had to find out about them after moving to Wisconsin. So at least that's one Midwest state that we can, at least in his opinion, does not have them. So I don't know, in like our neighbors, like does the UP have them? Does Minnesota have them? Someone let me know. But throughout the day, we are taking your texts and calls about what makes a supper club, and what is like your favorite supper club or favorite supper club item? 844-967-2789. But we were also going to round out our conversation about, do we have a call on supper clubs first? Because I wanted to just wrap up the conversation about private schools.
Let's wrap
schools.
Up the private thing.
All right, so David, hold on.
We'll get you in a moment.
So yeah, I don't know where this is going. I would assume that there's the Joint Finance Committee with the private schools objecting to their finances being made public will provide these groups cover and say if they don't want to be included, they won't have to be included, because God knows the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty and the Republicans in the legislature are bedfellows, just put it lightly. And so I don't know how much teeth there is going to be as far as DPI continuing to push that the schools who are receiving public money should be included in this dashboard. But I think it's just a question that people should be aware of, is that what is the accountability? Like, what is the accountability? And I'm going to get to this when we get to the good, bad, and the, once again, I'm telling you not to sleep on women's sports section in the next segment. But, you know, we talk about returning the taxpayer, like the money to taxpayers, and what taxpayers are spending their money on, and people, you know, what people get upset about as far as those are taxpayer dollars all the time. But like, these are taxpayer dollars. Don't you want to have some kind of access to understanding how they're being used once they get funneled to private schools? Or like we're going to tease for the next segment, if they're being used for lawsuits that you don't support, or Gableman investigations that you don't support. And again, the accountability of who's making the choices of how this money is getting spent then reverts back to making sure that you vote in every single election. And so I think we had one text on this from the 262. I would like to know, besides the military, what other money spent by taxpayers has no accountability to taxpayers? Is there precedent? Probably.
I mean, I guess if, yeah, military and all defense / covert, all that stuff is improv. But yeah, school money definitely should be. I mean, it's school money.
But as far as his question is, like, is there precedent for, like, other programs?
I don't think for school money. I think maybe if it has to do with defense or safety, but this has nothing to do with either. This is, why am I paying money for a voucher system? And two, where does that money go to? I have every right to know.
Well, I mean, and I guess it depends on what you mean by no accountability. Because I would, like, speaking of the Gableman investigation, I don't know if there was any accountability there. Like, we now know that, like, it was being spent and what, like, it was public knowledge. But as far as, like, hey, we don't want you to do that. Can you stop? We didn't really have a lot of say in that. But, all right, let's go back to David before we end this segment to hear his thoughts on supper clubs.
David, what say you about supper clubs?
So I actually have been to the Hot Knob in Racine, and I think it's very good. It's got a tremendous view of Lake Michigan. But I would suggest my favorite, personal favorite in the state is Schwartz's Supper Club. It's in New Holstein. It's a little bit north of Elkhart Lake, and it is definitely top drawer as far as the food that they serve. They got purveyors, local purveyors that they use, and everything is essentially, you know, it's completely, you know, done there at the restaurant.
And you say the name one more time, David? Schwartz's?
Yeah, Schwartz's Supper Club.
Supper Club. All right, we'll add it to the list. Thank you for the suggestion, David. Thanks for your call. All right, when we come back, we will get through some headlines, and then we're going to play three headlines and a lie. I'm excited to see.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again!
And a defense that just...
Down he goes!
Won't...
Intercepted, he's gone!
Stop!
Another turnover forced!
Join us Saturday. It's the Badgers and Buffalo Bulls in Madison. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
As an emergency medical technician, I hope motorists can remember these four life-saving words. Buckle up, phones down. It means wear a seatbelt. Every seat, every trip. And when driving, stay focused on the road ahead. Protect yourself, spare your family, and emergency responders from needless trauma.
Do your part to help us move towards zero deaths on Wisconsin roads. A safety message, sponsored by the U.S. and Wisconsin DOTs.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player, and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care. And they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
Put a frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Chris Domine is a husband and a father. Chris is an athlete. Chris is even an Iron Man. But 10 years ago, Chris was facing a very different story because his kidneys were failing.
Basically, the doctor said, if you don't get a kidney transplant and if you don't do dialysis, you are going to die.
Fortunately, Chris received a second chance at life, made possible by an organ donor.
You know, your well-being changes from loss of hope to better times ahead.
More than 100 million people in America are registered organ, eye, and tissue donors. People of every age and ethnicity, because they believe it's the right thing to do. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life. Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Clear skies overnight with lows around 50. South winds around 5 miles per hour. Bright sunshine tomorrow, high of 85. Lows dip down to about 63. Tomorrow night, mainly cloudy skies. Dry with temperatures well above average Saturday and Sunday, and highs from the low 90s to near 100. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 58.
To As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. We got Greg back on the board. And before we head to our good, our bad, and our once again, I am asking you not to sleep on women's sports headlines for today. Just a reminder that it is National Supper Club Day. So we are asking you throughout today's show, what makes a supper club? And what is your favorite supper club? Do we have a text?
We do have a text from the 310. Supper clubs have big bars that are packed with people drinking and waiting for their tables. Favorite supper club drinks is, of course, an old-fashioned relish tray and or salad bar was always a big feature. And this texter not only sent us this text, but also the map coordinates, the literal map coordinates, to a place called the Pinewood Supper Club located in Marathon County.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
So thank you, 310.
Thank you, 310. You know, I was in that same interview, the history of the old-fashioned is tied up, like so many things, in Prohibition.
Yeah.
And the fact that they were trying, you know, like grain alcohol or whatever they could get their hands on, that's why they had to put so much stuff in it. So it's like, we're going to put some sugar in it. We're going to put some bitters in it. We're going to put some fruit in it, like anything to make this drinkable. And then it was at the Chicago World Fair where brandy was introduced.
Yeah.
And the Germans, the Wisconsin Germans were like, this is good.
I'm going to give me some of this.
I'm going to take some of this.
Did I tell you, when I went to Toronto, we went to a bar and they had a bourbon old fashioned. And I said to my brother-in-law, I was like, oh, they don't have a brandy old fashioned. He goes, what is that?
What
even
is that?
And I go, put brandy in an old fashioned. It's like Wisconsin's like the number one consumer of Korbel brandy in the world because of these. And he goes, okay. And then he turns to the bartender, he goes, hey, have you heard of a brandy old fashioned? And the guy goes, no. And my brother-in-law looks at me and goes, see, I go, just because you've never heard of it doesn't mean it's not a thing. It's a huge thing in Wisconsin. Just because we're uncultured swine, apparently.
But it's funny because the other way around when you come to Wisconsin is it's hard to find an old-fashioned made in the way that it's made everywhere else.
Yeah.
The first time, because like I obviously moved away when I was 17, so when I started actually drinking like an adult and not just taking like...
When you were 21.
Of course.
Yeah.
Drinking like an adult where you like go to a bar and order a cocktail, not like take shots of like Fleischmann's vodka and like chase it with a Gatorade.
That's a number one
That's
vodka.
Like a college thing. And so I had learned what an old-fashioned was outside of Wisconsin, and it is something that is made with... bourbon.
Yeah.
And no seltzer water. It's like 2 ounces of bourbon with a muddled cherry and a muddled orange slice with a little bit of simple syrup, 2 dashes of bitters, and that's it. So it's like it's just straight booze.
Yeah.
So the first time I ever came home and was at a supper club with my parents and ordered an old fashioned. I think they got an old fashioned sweet, and I literally spit it out because I was like, "What is this?" Because it tastes very different, especially when you put Sprite on top of brandy. You're like, "This is a diabetic shock in a glass."
You've brought me the cocktail of the unwashed.
And like pressed, sour, sweet. You get someone very confused when you bring them to Wisconsin and they just want a bourbon, basically. All right. Well, let's get to the good. The good headline, I think, for today. Health officials urge reclassification of marijuana as a lower risk drug. So leaders at the Department of Health and Human Services urged the Drug Enforcement Administration, DEA, to ease restrictions on marijuana in a letter viewed by Bloomberg. Weed is currently considered a Schedule I substance under the Controlled Substances Act, putting it in the same category as LSD and heroin. But the letter said it should be changed to a Schedule III substance, like pain medication and testosterone. This would not legalize the drug, as many states have done, but it would bring down some of the barriers to the cannabis industry the cannabis industry is facing, such as being barred from banks. So stocks in the industry rose on the news. I think this is a good thing.
I think it's a great thing.
It's not a great thing necessarily for the U.S. Open, though, right now.
Why is that? I mean, you mean my favorite time of the year?
I know you're really enjoying right now, but this was a quote from this week. The U.S. Open is opening in New York right now.
Day three.
Quote, Court 17 definitely smells like Snoop Dogg's living room. So marijuana is legal in New York. The smells of determination and victory aren't the only ones hovering over the U.S. Open this year. Players have complained. Players, not other attendees. Yeah. Players have complained that one court also reeks of marijuana. The United States Tennis Association investigated the source of the stench and concluded that no one was lighting up in the stands. That means that the most likely explanation for the house party-like odors is that it was wafting over from people smoking in a nearby park.
I think we have a quote from the investigation. It was they said exactly, "No, man, it's cool. This is fine. Just go with it, man. Watch the ball. Be the ball, man. Cool."
Which is, I mean, because even if when something's legal, even if the drug itself is legal in New York, like the entity, the venue, can still say there's no smoking on the premises.
Correct. Yeah.
So I think people are actually smoking, like lighting up at the U.S. Open.
Yeah, and the thing is, the first individuals I would think would complain would be the players, because
I
love tennis so much. I love watching it. I will never play it. You're welcome. I love watching it, but them's are the most uptight groups of people ever. Just like, oh my gosh, my shoelace is not tied right. Ah, they are so complaining. They complain about everything. It's so fun to watch. All right, sorry, go on.
All right, let's move on to the bad. This is so frustrating.
The bad.
So, as we were talking before about, shouldn't there be accountability for private schools who are receiving public money? Shouldn't that be, you know, easily publicly available of how they are spending the money? Similar but different, you know, as we embark every week on the latest drama of what's happening with the Wisconsin Supreme Court, whether it's, you know, Wisconsin Watch got a hold of all of their emails back and forth. There's threats of Protasiewicz being impeached and then holding up the process so she would just be in limbo, and so it would slow everything down. But this will not be cheap, this fight. You know, the cost of us to not move towards a more democratic system is looking to be about $2 million right now. Wisconsin taxpayers on the hook for up to $2 million in legal fees to defend GOP-drawn election maps. Taxpayers are on track to cover up to $2 million for outside attorneys hired by GOP legislative leaders to defend election maps approved in 2021 that favor Republicans, state records show. This is from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and Molly Beck this morning. The total cost could grow higher under provisions in three contracts. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahue signed earlier this month. They're limited to $1.8 million over the next year under contracts with law firms Lahosky, Keller Cohn, and Consovoy, McCarthy, and Lawfare. These names.
It's going to be covered by law firm.
Yeah, law firm. Last name, and last name. But I just saw that, and it just made me so mad. It's like, oh, so we get to pay for you to continue to squash our desire, our voted desire to have better maps.
I saw Dan Schaefer text this journal article, and I saw Molly Beck, and I was like, I just so angry, so mad. Just like, of course.
Well, it's as frustrating as the final tally kept rising for the Gableman investigation.
Yeah.
Right, where I mean, we've been on the hook, right? Taxpayers have been on the hook for all of whenever there's these lawsuits that come between, typically, you know, the GOP and what has been a lot of the times the governor's this governor's administration, and they don't pay for that.
No, I mean, in fairness, and when I say fairness, I use that word real loosely. I mean, it is a government action, so yes, of course, it's going to be paid for by the taxpayers. And I know that realm very well, so it's just frustrating that my taxes are paying for these two yahoos and their group of yahoos. It's very diplomatic of me.
Very diplomatic of you.
Thank you.
So I feel like there's not much more to say behind that. I don't really know there's much that we can do except hope that the lawsuit itself that's going to the Supreme Court doesn't get hung up, and that, knock on wood, there's somehow new maps by 2024.
Mm-hmm.
If that doesn't happen, you should still vote.
Always vote.
You should still vote in 2024.
Always vote.
Because they're still introducing a lot of stuff, and they're still using taxpayer for stuff like this just to keep themselves in power. All right. So this is some cool news. Once again, I'm asking you, please don't sleep on women's sports. So I feel like this has been the year of women's sports finally getting the recognition, not only that they're good, but that there's eyeballs. And with eyeballs comes money. Nebraska, last night, the University of Nebraska, the Cornhuskers, and their fans scored a unique kind of victory, setting a new, not national, but global record for attendance at a women's sports event. The Huskers packed 92,000 people, actually to be exact, 92,003 people into the school's football stadium to watch its women's team play volleyball, surpassing the world record of 91,648 fans set at a Champions League game in Barcelona in 2022. Nebraska's Memorial Stadium only holds 85,000 spectators for football, which still regularly transforms its state into the third largest city, proudly. But seating was available on the field for this event to help break the record, which also makes sense because a volleyball court is much smaller than a football court, so you can put more people up there. But they played Nebraska's volleyball match against Omaha was last night. And they are the fourth-ranked team. They won in a sweep. And I just think this is really cool. I think this is awesome as far as, like, you get 92,000 people to show up to watch a college women's volleyball game, and you can't tell me that there's not appeal for women's sports. And so I just thought this was incredibly cool. And I'm excited for more women's sports, both professional and also for the NCAA tournament next year, to see if it's as good as this last year was with Caitlin Clark and everybody. But and then my final note. Do we have anyone on the phone?
They were talking about the last segment about school vouchers and whatnot. Yeah.
Got it. But the last thing, did you see who dropped a new podcast?
It wasn't me, was it?
It was not you. It was not you. Late night hosts Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, Seth Meyers, and John Oliver teamed up and made a podcast to support their striking staff, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, I saw this. I think it's going to be fantastic. It's so fun.
And I do think as we enter next year, I mean, who knows how long this strike is going to last, but how much, I've heard this point made a couple different times. One, sometimes by listeners of this, the civic media, but also in general, like, what would SNL have done with last week's debate? And I was like, God, that's a good question. Like, the going into this next year's election cycle with no comedy writers. So there's no SNL sketches. There's no late night hosts, like, making light of things. And so it's nice to see these guys. I don't know what the podcast will be about, if they will even cover politics at all. But as far as, like, it's a reminder of what we are missing as long as this strike keeps persisting, as far as letting comedians kind of guide the way as far as our understanding of the things that are happening. So check it out. It's called Strike Force 5. When we come back, 3 headlines and a lie. We will see how Greg Bach does. And if you have more thoughts on what makes a supper club, we want to hear from you, or a supper club recommendation. Stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board. And reminder, we were just talking about Nebraska's global record they just set for the highest attended women's sports event ever last night with 92,003 people.
Dang.
But from the 312, the WAUK text line said, hey, and Wisconsin is ranked number one. Be sure to ask JR about Wisconsin volleyball next time he's on. And so I will ask JR Radcliffe. Oh, actually, we have Paul Noonan on today. I wonder if he has, he does a lot of baseball and football, but he also just does sports in general. So I'll ask him as far as if he has any insights on college women's volleyball as we get started with that season this year. But we are also taking your thoughts on what makes a supper club, because it is National Supper Club Day. And what your favorite supper club is. But right now, Greg, are you ready? You got out of it last week.
Why?
Because I think we ran out of time. I think whatever topic we were doing last Thursday took us to the end of the hour, and we never came back to it.
Hey, then, Kristen, what's going on with you right now? I mean, just how's the baby going thing happening?
That baby thing.
Yeah, I heard you're pregnant.
You really don't want to. So what are you going to do tomorrow when you have to play against Pat Kreitlow in the headline quiz?
I'll lose.
Didn't you win last time? No.
No, I lost. I lost.
Okay, to William Walter?
I lost in the last second. He got me with, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, go ahead. Go ahead. Let's do this. I'm ready.
Three headlines and a lie. We're doing 3 headlines that are real. One is fake. Greg has to guess the fake one. And he gets, the whippings will continue until you get them right.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Number one, I got gobbled up by a whale. It was amazing.
All right.
Number two, oh my God, live worm found in Australian woman's brain in world first discovery.
Okay.
Number three, NYC tourists seeking authentic experience take late night rat tours.
Okay.
Number four, Adam Sandler will let you punch him to raise money for Bob Barker's animal rights organization.
God. Okay, the first one was gobbled up by a whale, and it was amazing.
I got gobbled up by a whale. It was amazing.
The second one is...
Oh my God, live worm found in Australian woman's brain in world first discovery.
I'm going with that one.
That one's fake?
Yeah.
Sorry to say, that one's real.
God.
It sounds like a horror movie. I actually read about this earlier this week. Woman complained of forgetfulness and depression before doctors pulled out an 8-centimeter roundworm normally found in pythons out of her brain. Oh, it just gives me like...
Was the first thing that happened, like, she just like remembered her passcodes and she was like, I'm so happy.
I don't know, but this was in Australia, which of course is in Australia, the land of critters.
Oh my God. But I feel great now.
The neurosurgeon had pulled an 8-centimeter long parasitic roundworm from her patient, prompting her to call other hospital colleagues for advice on what to do next. Can you imagine? It's like, well, I found this. What do I do with it? How did it get there?
Burn it.
And I honestly haven't read the whole thing to see like how it got there, but I think, have you ever seen some of those like TikTok videos where if you pour a little bit of like, people are like, oh, there's something in my ear, and they pour like hydrogen peroxide and it like a spider crawls out?
Come on, what are you doing?
Sorry, am I really freaking you out?
Come on.
All right, let's move on. What's your second guess of what's fake?
This whole reality, you sicko. I would go Adam Sandler punching him in the face.
That is correct.
Okay. I wanted it to be real, but then I'm like, that's pretty violent even for Adam Sandler.
Especially for strangers to just punch him in the face.
Yeah, right.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's doing something.
Yeah, I mean.
To raise money for Bob Barker's animal rights organization, RIP.
Yeah.
That is the fake one. But that means that people are indeed taking late night rat tours.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
What? Oh.
That doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, that's kitschy. It's New York. It's right up there with a Sex and the City tour.
They also have a rat czar.
Yeah, you know,
who makes six figures.
I think it's isn't it like the brother of the mayor or something? I think it's a woman,
because I heard her get interviewed on a different podcast.
Okay.
So tourists are flocking to the Big Apple to check out its exploding rat population, and tour guides are tailoring excursions to introduce them to the city's most beady-eyed natives.
You know, we're just asking for something. Like, I don't know. I have no idea what it is, but it's like between climate change and being interested in this, being like, we went to New York and saw rats and Hamilton.
But it's like, are there not rats other places? If it's a gaggle of geese, is this a swarm of rats?
I think for one thing, it's just because it's New York.
And you're just like, we're here. Let's see what it's like. Let's do as the New Yorkers do and see some rats in the subway.
They're called, let's see here, a mischief of rats.
That's awesome.
They're called a mischief of rats.
How many rats does it take to be a mischief?
4. I don't know. I mean, we got a text saying from the 312 saying, Greg, it's obvious Kristen was never traumatized by Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Is there a worm in the brain?
Yeah, they pull. Yeah, same idea. It's like, just, I mean, but that's also like the 80s. So it's like, you can tell it's like not a real face.
Is that an actual worm like this doctor found?
Well, yeah.
And then finally, indeed, someone did get gobbled up by a whale.
Jonah.
This is from Slate Magazine, published this week. And it's my friend. This is like a long narrative story instead of just a headline. But it sounds like, what's it like? People tell us... Well, what's it like to have experiences many of us have not even imagined? In this entry, we spoke to physical therapist Julie McSorley, 58, who is one of the few people on planet Earth outside of storybooks and the Bible who have been inside a humpback whale's mouth and lived to tell the tale. It happened in November 2020 while she was kayaking with her friend Liz Cottrell in California's San Luis Obispo Bay.
All right.
There you go.
I like how they said storybooks and the Bible.
Because they're different.
Yeah, totally. They're so different.
All right. right. Well, when we come back, Dr. Kristen Lierley will be here for a public cervix announcement. If you have questions for the doctor, 844-967-2789, we will take those. And then at the bottom of the next hour, Paul Noonan will be here for a sports update on the Brewers and why he is recklessly optimistic about the Packers this season. And at the end of next hour, we're going to talk about what we won, what we were voted as. From Milwaukee Magazine.
Big surprise coming, folks.
Big surprise. All right, stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be back after the top of the hour news.
Sports allow us to play, learn, and grow. But there's something more important than victory. At the U.S. Center for Safe Sport, we believe every athlete deserves to be safe. Safe from abuse and misconduct on and off the field. We equip athletes, parents, coaches, and others with the right education to recognize, prevent, and respond to harmful behavior. Join the movement to champion respect and end abuse at uscenterforsafesport.org.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Hi, I'm Kirsten from Pentatonix. We've all learned how to cope with more time alone. With more time spent isolated or at home, the need for companionship has grown. If you've considered adding a pet to your family, please check with your local shelters and foster organizations. Stray pet numbers have grown immensely over the past several years, and the trauma caused to these animals is devastating. Adopt pets, they need us more than we know. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. Hurricane Idalia might be history now for North Florida and parts of neighboring states, but not forgettable history. Recovery and rebuilding will take time and will take help. WFOR-TV's Jacqueline Kim.
In some places, folks are without power, and it may be like that for several more days. To help those displaced, two trucks from Feeding South Florida will be heading up to the second harvest of Big Bend in Tallahassee. The group's president and CEO talked to us about what's inside of them.
So the Aldi's boxes have canned goods as well as some cleaning supplies in them. The Seminole Tribe buckets that you guys see have about 2 weeks' worth of food.
President Biden plans to visit Florida tomorrow.